I'm really excited to bring you the upcoming interview with a very special guest. You'll hear him discussing all the great and courageous work he's currently engaged in. If you feel inspired to help him continue these efforts, please consider making a donation earmarked for his projects. Or you can give a general donation that will support the wider movement in Myanmar. Our ongoing support has been so very helpful and appreciated by many Burmese struggling during these dark days. Simply go to insightmyanmar.org/donation to contribute today, or stay tuned to the end of the episode to hear more options. Now, let's hear from that guest himself. For this episode of Insight Myanmar podcast, we are speaking to Sapho Wa, and he has been assisting the KRC, the Karen Refugee Committee, and the work that they've been doing since the coup and over the years, and is going to be speaking about some of the important activities of the KRC. So with that introduction, Sapho Wa, thank you for sitting down and taking the time to join us.
The KRC is looking for... The refugee along Thai Burman borders are maybe nine refugees in Thak province, Mekong South, Mekong South province, Kachinaburis, right? Yes.
And how long has the KRC been functioning this way?
Almost 51 years. Mostly the marginalized people. For the warfare, for the unclashed in Burma, they could not stay more longer in the Myanmar crosses the border and seeking their temporary shelter in Thai sites. That's the main responsibility for the KRC. They have to take care that people, not only the current people, but other ethnic groups also. The KRC have to take care in the together work with the UNHCR to look after the other refugee peoples coming from the inside Burma. Majority is current, but also are the ethnic also stay together with the in the current refugee camp. The KRC working with UNHCR, we call TBPC, Thai Burman Border Consortium. With the EU providing the food for the refugee people, the refugees. At the moment, there's a big challenge for the to provide the rations and healthcare services in the camps, because maybe as you've been already that after the Donald Trump cut down the funding. But mostly, we got provided aid from the USAID, right? The USAID. But after that, that's a big challenge for the KRC. Before TPC, the UNHCR to provide the healthcare services, the food for the refugees along the Thailand border.
And how has the KRC been managing and surviving after the cuts from the Trump administration? How have they been able to continue in spite of losing so much support?
We have faced so many from the KRC, but the KRC trying to reorganize after the donations down. But we divide the three groups: people living in the camps, most vulnerable. We don't cut down the Russian, which we still continue to support them for the children. But for the set reliance group, I mean, yeah, the people can walk. That's why that we are collaborate with the Thai government. The people that can go outside looking for the walk for their ACAM. Yes.
Mm.
We've seen so many people for the East Burma coming seeking the temporary shelter in the camps. But we do have a ration for them, but that's a very big challenge for the people. After the military coups, the people coming to the camps. But the KRC is trying to reorganize with TBC. It's a long term, the short term, for 2 or 3 months, we can provide the people coming to the East Burma after military coups. Those long terms. Yes, I was about the Burma, but most of my time just spent in the refugee camps, learning the refugee education. I finished my higher education in the camps. But we do have recognized for the time to go outside when I was the college student in the camps. Especially the military coups, I've seen so many there. Education system, a Thai government border. Most of the migrant students also getting more in the Thai side there. And also there, for the health issues, it's not functioning very well because we have to, especially the current people live at Thai government border, we have to concern both country. Thai, the Myanmar, we're going to do something health activities. We're going to consider both sides. Even the Thai government's allowance to do, but we have to be very careful in the other side. Because the Burma side, the Thai side, that's my experience working with the current people along the Thai-Burma border. When to engage so many different levels. As you know, that the Burma, we have so many different arms group. We're going to do head educations, other activity. We're going to engage different level, different layer, but we cannot be biased. We have to go very, very smart, very careful.
Well, first of all, you speak remarkable English, so you obviously have been a very good student to be able to have this English language conversation. So that's really wonderful. And learning English is a vehicle for the world of opportunities. So I'm very happy that we're able to have this conversation in English. And you're able to tell your story to our audience. I'm very happy about that.
Oh, we got very good education in the camps in the past, but not right now. We have very limited chance to leave the camps, to go outside, to travel. When just living the friends. but in the camp, we have the people, those who have UN registration, they can apply in the country resettlement program. But for me, I have no UN, so I could not apply the resettlement programs in the country. Because there's so many people staying looking for the chance to resettle to the country because of refugees and more than one, 2 or 3 decades already. So, the especially the youth, the young people in the camp became the degenerates, the teenage rebellions.
Really?
Yes, they are under the drug addicts, but they had no homes. They are seen, they are just like the
So what allowed you to not fall into that degenerate path and to pursue an education and to be here sitting with me having an English language conversation, which is incredible? What allowed you to take that possibility while others are less fortunate?
I have to overcome so many things to leave the camps, to leave and my family in the camps. I left my family in the camps. I left the camps working with the other CBO, CSO, community-based organization, we call it, working for the Korean youths. I had been working with the Korean youth organization more than 10 years. But we try to encourage our young people in the camps to try to overcome the challenges, but that's not easy. But we have so many NGO and youth are working for that, but that's not easy.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah, so you're describing that there are many obstacles in the path of trying to develop, and you had a drive to want to overcome these obstacles. So you, through very hard work and maybe some good luck, some good fortune, some good timing, but also hard work, you were able to overcome these obstacles and be in a better situation. But it's not reasonable to expect that all of these youths can be so lucky and so hardworking as you've been.
I'm going to say that, but on the other hand, some of the people in the camp, that's depend on the attitude, the behavior, and the environment.
Yeah.
So at the camp, we have like faith-based, like the Bible school, related to the religions. They have a further study in the, based on their religion, the faith-based foundations.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can go to the further study in the, something like India.
I understand that many Korens are Christian, as you've described about the Bible study, and also many are Buddhist as well. And I understand that that your family, your background is Buddhist, that you're Koren Buddhist. And so did the Buddhist faith or did Buddhist teachings, did that help you in your struggle and challenges?
Right. In the past, what we have high education, after you finish the higher education, you can apply scholarship not only the Christianity, but the Buddhist, depending on your qualifications, you can apply the open university, just like the Chiang Mai, Mahidol University, Cholan. Some are going to the India, mostly in Thailand, open university, most of the people are going to that. Depending on your qualifications.
Right. And did your Buddhist background, your Buddhist religion, was this an important part of your life?
Yes. I read so many, just like Dalai Lama, the power of compassion, the mind, peaceful minded, to be the peaceful minded. But I'm not familiar with the meditation. Maybe I'm young.
So the Dalai Lama is very far from Myanmar. I have not met many Burmese or Karen who read Dalai Lama or Zen or other types of Buddhist practices. It's very different than what you find in Myanmar. So how did you find the Dalai Lama's books and why were those so important to you?
In the library. Because when you read that kind of books, make you very peaceful. Mm. Very peaceful.
Mm. How so?
Because based on the humanity. Mm-hmm. We love each other, care each other. Mm. No hatred.
This must be a really powerful thing to read when you're living in a refugee camp, when you're growing up in a refugee camp, and you're seeing your whole community displaced by the Burma army, and you're reading a book about the kind of world that could happen that the Dalai Lama is talking about.
Yeah, quite similar with China.
Yeah.
Yes. There's no right to push your beliefs. Buddhism, the Christianity, you have no right to impose, but it depends on you, depends on your belief. You have no right to against it to the other religions. Everyone has the rights.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's a nice idea. So then, moving on to life outside of the refugee camp. Another important part of the Karen experience, the KRC, but also how the displaced Karens are helped, is this idea of backpacker health. So what is a backpacker health worker?
Health worker teams, they occupy with so many ethnic groups in the inside Myanmar, Burma. They are mobile. They are mobile. If fires happen, if the people are displaced, they are taking care and looking after the health. And for the people displaced, providing basic medical healthcare, yes, up to the secondary healthcare. Not only the current state, Kachin, Chinmo, Shams. That's why that if you have a chance, maybe next year, we can make like adventures if you with the Bepe headquarters, the member.
So the backpacker healthcare workers, they literally put their medicine on their backpack.
Yes.
And they walk through the jungle, reaching people that no other doctors can reach.
That's very hard to reach. Most of the places are hard to reach area. But some of the places, they build up the clinic. But mostly they create a backpacker with the medicines, especially in the hard to reach area.
And now doing the work in the middle of a war.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Have you accompanied some of these trips?
Yes. We are working in the head issue. We are working together with the Medan Clinic, backpack head working team, we call BME, Burma Medical. I accompany with them in the we call the Breaking Fight Pampon Township. They are very strong teams, but most of maybe you already know that in the Pampon area, that's very strong fightings between the SACs and our KNLA other alliance from called PDF, something like this. I'm not part of the fighting, but
no. But
I'm happy that in the and the heads activity.
So you brought healthcare into this area that was heavy fighting, and that must have been very very scary to do.
Sure, yes, but when you go to that area, first you have to be very careful with the landmine, because we have to listen to the operation commandant's order. The airstrike, but we had to live in the under the tree. We had to treat the patient under the tree. Yes, we cannot make the shelters to put it the patient to come together, but that's very dangerous for the airstrike. So we had to be very careful. But if you be the shelters, you can open your hospital, also the school. The church, the monastery, they don't care about this.
Yeah.
And that's not good for the patients, but we try our best to lose the life savings.
Yeah. How do you get the courage to go into a war zone and help patients? I think for many of us, this is very scary to think about doing. It's very courageous that you do this, but where do you get that courage from?
Yeah, before that, as I mentioned earlier, that before that, I had been working with the Korean organization. They are working with, especially the UN Insights, together with the Free Burma Ranger. We have been trained the youth, so many activities from the we call FBR.
FBR, yeah. So you trained with FBR.
I have been working also with the FBR, the backpackers. So that's scary, but I know that's become a habit. That becomes normal.
I think there are many scary things about it, but I think two things that you just said, that you try to be safe, but you really have no control over. Airstrikes can happen anywhere, anytime. There's yes. nothing you could do. Landmines are hidden in the ground.
Yes.
Any step you take, there could be a landmine there. There's danger above, there's danger below. And even as you try to be safe, there are many things you can't control. So how do you manage that instability and that lack of control?
Well, we go together with the soldiers, but they know that their place. They know where they place the landmines. But I don't. But for the Burma Army side, we have faced so many. But what to invest? But we, if they do not allow us to go that either. We don't go. We try to bring the patients. You know, this the same place, and we to take care of it. There is the experience, because we left our ethnic peoples, not experience, kind of experience. So even this is scary, the dangerous, but the experience of our mind is for the life savings of other peoples.
Mm. You say that you love your ethnic people, and that's very beautiful. And when I hear the kind of pain and suffering that the Burma Army is creating for your ethnic people, and that they've been creating for a long, long time, the opposite of the love of the ethnic people would be the hatred of the Burma Army. So do you feel a hatred of the Burma Army for what they've been doing for so long to your people?
Just what we mentioned, we are left with our ethnic. Yes, of course, the Burma Army has created so many different current arms group than the other parts, right? You see, like the BGF Border Guard Force, that's current. The KV, that's current. Peace Council, that's current.
Yeah.
I mean, not the arms groups. I mean the peoples.
Yeah. I ask that because you talk about Buddhism or even Christianity. You know, hatred is in both religions. Hatred is a very hard thing to hold. It's very toxic. So I'm wondering, you know, when those natural feelings of anger come up, how do you deal with them?
Keep your minds. Silence. 15 or 20 minutes. Keep your mind calm down. Remember what's the Buddhism teaching principles. It will make you to reduce more the hatred, to control your anger.
Is this what you do?
Yes.
Mm. Yeah. It must be hard sometimes.
Yes. But everything's will be gone. There's no a silver in this planet.
Mm.
That's a temporary. Everything's a temporary.
Everything is temporary. Yeah, anicca.
Yes.
Yeah. Right. Mm. Have you had any particularly dangerous moments when you're going on the backpacker health? Has there been some experiences that have been especially dangerous?
But not part for me, but I've seen so many young people for the current ethnic variants. I'll give you one instance. One of the soldiers, but his parents killed by the Burmese army. But at that time, he was 50 years. He was very young. But that's my friends. I told him, but don't go back. Still continues your story to finish your story. It's become like a psychological scar. He cannot resist. Even he don't want to be to hold again, but he cannot erase his psychological scar. That's why he became stop the education and going back to join the arms group. I'm not an accountant, but I've seen so many with my friends or with the community I have been visited. I've seen so many the kind of cases in the my friends, some part of the community.
That's a lot of loss you've had to deal with.
Yes. After the political coup, the Burman people, they understand the ethnic arms quotations. Before the military coups, for the 88 generation is fine. 88 generation is that they do understand.
Oh, really?
Yes, the ethnic arms quotation.
Mm.
But that's not so much percentage.
Mm.
But after the Maoists took over the power of the country, the whole country is knowing that why is the ethnic people suffering? They understand the ethnic people have to encounter their lives in the past, have it hold it against the military. Yes, changing a lot their mindsets. They have no place to stay or in the East Burma. They trying to seek the safe place. They coming to the ethnic area. And, they understand more. Even the energy also they don't understand ethnic condition in the past. Mm-hmm. After the military coups, most of the energies members are coming to the ethnic area and oh, look at it. We never imagine this kind of condition to happen to the ethnic area.
Mm-hmm.
But they have seen only the ethnic arms group, but they don't understand the experience the ethnic people living in the air. Not a military control area, because as you know that the Burmese legitimacy does go everywhere, but the ethnic immigrants they control their place, they have or they are just like the called de facto power, right? Yes, the Americans. Kachin current, they have their digital power in the administrative area. But when the ethnic, the military groups, most of the political party, especially the NLD, they know more about the that they understand. Mm.
When I hear this is an incredible thing to say, that you're saying that NLD party members from the 2015 to 2020 period, when they had some nominal power, that during those 5 years, they never were able to understand through conversation, through history, through visiting, through interaction, they never were able to understand the ethnic suffering. But then when they were the ones that were persecuted and they had to run to the ethnic territories for their life, then they understood. And when I hear that, there's part of me that feels really relieved that this understanding has come to NLD leaders. I'm very pleased to hear that this positive interaction has come and that they're now having this very critical understanding. That's really good to hear. But another part of me is shocked and saddened and even angry that and confused. Why would NLD members who had some kind of power in the country of Myanmar at no time try to take the steps to understand how people in that country were, what their actual conditions were? Why did that never happen before? Do you have any idea?
Just one word. No engagement with ethnic people. They never concern how to, they never concern about engagement to engage with ethnic. That's a problem. From my own perspective.
Yeah.
When an lady had power, they better go around in the ethnic area. But after they found the government, and I don't see any activity that in the ethnic area. But in the other hand, maybe they have to consider about their limitation because of the parliament, they have the military. That might be possible. I don't see the zero engagement, but they did it in some way, but not effective. Maybe they are afraid of or they are concerned about the military with seems and any parties. And, okay, close with the ethnic, maybe that is a positive, but that because of that, the limitation of the engagement with the ethnic people is angry.
Right. So as a Karen young person, when the NLD came to power, how did you feel about those years of their administration?
The country's getting better. Healthcare infrastructure, so education getting better, but not in. Yes, it's a time, the limited times. We can travel. We can make a negotiation. We can set up the political platform, but after the military coup, doesn't destroy everything.
Yeah.
Right. There's no political platform anymore.
Now, some people talk about the difference between generations. There's been some discussion about how the different generations are approaching things in a different manner. So when you look at the way that Bamar youth generation and Bamar elders after the coup have come around to understanding the ethnic suffering, do you see a distinction in their openness and their engagement? Or do you feel that overall, among many Bamar, there's just a wider understanding everywhere?
Yes. You see, just like the young generation in the Burma, they don't consider the just like the current cranny, just like the generation in the Burma to strike to fight back the military coups. That's a very open minded wider after the military coups. The technology is developed tremendously. The young generations, we have so many to learn about the war, right? Or just like that, yes, we can. Just the planets in here, everything we can search here.
Yeah.
So that's a very useful for the young generation, for the open-minded technologies. But if we can use the technologies in the best way, it would be good. But sometimes the technology is not good for everything to destroy the generation. Just look at all the the fake information.
Sure.
Yes. By the way, if we look at the history, milestones. The old generations they might have some misunderstandings to but if we look at the new generations. Get it more trustworthy to each other. The old generations, because they had gone through a lot of submersible things between the ethnics. Our generation get it better, more open-minded and easy to negotiate. Maybe it will be different of the education background. The institution, the country. The country, yes. Most of the old generation, they are very conservative. They don't allow the young people to take a risk to do something else, to liberate their mind, to criticize something else. Yes. You had a chance to criticize your leader.
This is democracy, right?
Yes.
Democracy is the ability to criticize anything, anyone.
In the past, you have a chance.
Yeah. And within Karen culture and organization, do you think that's changing? Is there more freedom to be able to say what you want, or do you feel like it's still pretty controlled?
No, it's free. Yeah. Okay. Right now, you can criticize. You can criticize if seeing there isn't a suitable ways of yes, change a lot.
You can criticize Karen leadership, and that's acceptable.
Yes, why not?
Okay, right, yeah.
That technology. Mm-hmm. Because we are beyond the technology so many years. Because that's becoming kind of like generation gaps. The education, the technology, the healthcare systems. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you got sick, you could not eat this food. you could not travel to that way. Yeah, in that place. But that very conservative, very traditions.
Yeah. What now? We're over 5 years since the military coup started, and the conflict, the displacement, the food insecurity, many challenges that everyone in Myanmar is facing, and the Karen are no exception to that. And then the funding cuts came after that, which made things more difficult. So, looking at the Karen population and the services that KRC provides and Backpacker Health. On either side of the border, in Thailand or in Burma, what would you say are the most critical and urgent challenges now facing the Karen people?
Well, there will be two parts. Yeah, in the camps, because of the ongoing fighting, the KRC is facing more the people come inside Burma coming to the camps. But in the other hand, the food is cutting down. Yes, but it's Burma. There's more displaced people. Some of the displaced people, they want to come to Thai sites of just I mentioned earlier to seeking temporary shelters at the Thai sites. But some of the places they could not travel to come along to the Thailand are more displaced, or most of the children. They couldn't study. It would be the school. The school is destroyed with the airstrike, the hospital, the health infrastructure, the education, the food for the district people we could not cover. Well, even the backpack also, they could not cover all population that's be displaced to accept the healthcare services. There were two parts. USA cuts is affected to the refugees' health services. Mm. But in the it's at Burma. So many countries that stopped funding to go through to the Burma. That's another problem. Also, if we call the cross border, we're trying to persuade the international organization to provide funding through the time that. Or across the cross border, because the province, the Burmese government didn't allow it. That's why that we could not cover the education, the health services. Very limitation right now.
It's really sad to hear that, and so you're describing a population that is not getting enough food, medicine, shelter. Education, in some cases, maybe drinking water.
To be honest, we want to help as much as we can, but every there's limitations. But we feel very sad. Yes, especially as you mentioned, the Shima business, that's not adequate to provide. So many organizations, okay, for the humanitarian parts, every organization have faced this problem. As I understand, the KRC, negotiate for the refugee parts. KRC negotiate with the Thai government to give it a chance, to give a chance, the rights for the refugee people to go outside to work in Bangkok, Chiang Mai. Right now, they can leave the camps working outside to provide their families or mentally ill camp. For the ISAC Burma, we still have a challenge, but we don't know how to find out the way to get funding from the NGO, the EU. That's a big challenge. So many CBO communities, okay, CSO also advocates in there, but we still have, they have been working in the outside more than 3 months already, but they can go. Even they leave the camp, go to the outside working. They're working outside, but they still have a problem with their boss, the language. But in the inside Burma, some we have, as my understanding, some they have a private donor, not organization, the private donor, they come to help us if they can. Mm. They got some tiny leaders for it. Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. The Karen people and the ethnic people have been through a lot of challenges over the years. Do you feel that this current time right now is the worst it's ever been?
Not only current people, just the whole country. Yes. I never see clearly the young children, they are standing in a in the school, the boys, someone children got killed in the other airstrike. I never have seen before that, but that's the worst. Bombs and hospital, the school, there's so many children got killed by the airstrike. Even the church, the monastery. Yeah. Before that, I never seen it. It was very terrible. Even during the the wedding ceremony, they bombed the church. That's the worst. The SAC is the worst. I never seen it before.
They bomb the Christian communities on Christmas every year.
Christmas, yeah. Not only Christian, even the monastery.
Yeah.
It's everything.
They bomb the Buddhist monasteries during Thedinjit and the Buddhist holidays.
Yes.
Yeah.
Terrible.
It's hard to understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. How do you keep your mental balance? How do you keep your optimism when things are so dark?
Yeah, I try to read the book.
Dalai Lama?
Yeah. Not Dalai Lama, the other books are related to be a resilience or life.
Like which books?
Kind of the philosophy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which authors?
Richard Vance, the Italian philosopher. Give me encourage. So, encourage me to understand the role of the leadership. How to criticize wisely.
So would you say that you're optimistic despite these challenges?
Yeah, sometimes yes. Sure, yes. Not all the time, yeah.
I'm sure.
We're humans. Sometimes we can be changing. But mostly we're trying to be optimistic to everyone. Yeah, we have this kind of mindset, we can collaborate, working with the other ethnic, you black, white, yellow. Not only in the current ethnic resistance, everywhere in Burma we have challenges, but even at the refugee camps, even the KRC also trying to solve try to solve the problem, but we have a limitation or rules to work with the Thai government. We are under the Thai government, we have a limitation rule. That kind of challenge, but I want to say that we're the home, we're to hand in hand each other to overcome this these circumstances, to overcome the ruling military government, not only current, so every Burmese people, the other ethnic, hand in hand we can reach our final destinations for the truly the democracy will be happening in the Burma, Myanmar. Yes.
Are you hopeful?
Yes. If we look at the elections, it's very funny. the civilian do not support, not accept, but they use the military power to make it happen. And very obviously, we can see that internationally, community also, but not so many years. I hope so. It will be that the democracy will be back to the at the Burma, Myanmar. That's important for the ethnic the Burma people, the ethnic minorities. We want to work together. Healthcare services in Burma is very terrible. A lot of the children are malnutrition. They do not get immunizations properly. When I was in the field working with the along with the backpack other health organizations, it's a very 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 terrible the immunization problem with the children or nutrition food. That's a very big challenges over the country. Or even you have a man, if you go to the hospital, you don't have enough medicines. I know in the Burma we have a very very difficult problem with the malaria, tuberculosis, other chains. That's the most. Even you have a tuberculosis, but even you have a money, you cannot buy it. Even in the government's hospital, they don't have enough medicine for it. Because the chronic, diseases, they're very burden for their family. The mother do not have to deliver their baby safely.
So these are not just problems that are impacting people's lives now, but these are very severe, very serious generational problems that will take not years, but decades of peace and stability to try to recover from.
Yes. Even the democracy come back, we might face this problem because we have to recover so many things. It's health, education, that's very, very terrible. Ethnic reconciliations process to gain the trust to each other.
Yeah, and now people are just trying to survive. So this trying to survive and to win, and so you can't deal with these extraordinary structural problems when there's such instability and such conflict and war. People are just trying to survive. But the level of trauma of lack of education, lack of healthcare services, lack of any kind of stability, these things are going to have a generational impact on the civilization. That's hard to hear.
Yes.
But you remain hopeful.
I hope so.
Yeah.
It will be one day.
Yeah. I thank you for sharing this story, your story, the story of KRC, of the Karens and the wider ethnic struggle and backpacker health, and bringing this to our audience, as well as, you know, talking about the tremendous obstacles that you've overcome in your life to be in this position of doing what you can. I think just seeing that there's people like you within this community who are leading the way for what you can, I think this in and of itself gives a certain amount of hope and inspiration. So I hope you're aware of that as well.
Thank you. Inside your mom podcast, you have done so many things. Liberates, provides information to the international community. That's a very, very useful and helpful for the democracy movements for Isaac Burma. That's a very, very, very useful podcast. I recognize your strengths, the information in Burma. That's a very good for the democracy movement. Thank you. Do you want to ask a question? Is it possible? Mm-hmm. Is it related to the President Trump? the President Trump announced that stopped the USA funding over the war, right? Mm-hmm. But because of the US, they did not have enough financial support. But she asked about it. When the US launches the missiles in Iran, that's very expensive, right? it is right. The missiles are very expensive.
Yes. So to give some background to our audience, you're accompanied by an elder from KRC who, as we're having this interview, who is not fluent in English. And so as we brought this interview to a close, she had I'm usually the one asking questions, but she had a question for me to understand. And we're keeping this on the air because I think this is a good discussion to have on the record for listeners to have an understanding of how local communities, through their limited understanding of American foreign policy, how they're understanding the decisions that were made that are causing daily and catastrophic devastation and destruction. So with that background, to answer the question, which again, to rephrase to make sure we're all on the same page, that the Trump administration cut off funding to many development projects, especially to Burma, was things were very cut here. And so the question is, if they did this because they wanted to save money, why did they then spend a lot of money on missile strikes? And that's a very fair question. I think that this is coming not so much from a place of the American government not having money, not having the funds to spend. Every administration, when they take power, they determine what the priorities are of that administration and where they want to spend that money based on their political beliefs. That being said, until the Trump administration, until the second Trump administration, not the first one, whether it was this personality or that personality, whether it was Democrat or Republican, there were basic American values that were always consistent, that were unquestioned. Yes. You might have a little more here, you might have a little less here. You might have some money spending that people complained about and not enough here that other people complained about. But there were things you can trust. And one of those things that you can trust was always the funding towards Burma. Burma was always a bipartisan issue. Unlike most other things in the world, up until the second Trump administration, Burma had free Burma and resistance to the military had support from Republicans, Democrats, presidents, Congress, senators, many people supported it. It was not controversial at all. And in that support, it was whatever the administration was, it was important to fund media and healthcare and civil society and education, other types of initiatives. That changed in the second Trump administration. We don't know what their Burma policy is yet, and we may never know if they come around to it. But the aid that they cut is not so much how they feel about Burma; it's how they feel about where the American government is putting out money to help communities around the world. And there was a shift in Trump in the second Trump administration, what he called America First. And as many guests on this platform have shown, the long-term damages that could come to the United States through pulling out this support are catastrophic. So I would argue this is not an America First policy. It may look like you're using American money to help someone that we don't know in another part of the world, but indirectly, in many ways, that comes back and helps us, from the scam centers to the authoritarianism to the to infectious diseases and narcotics, so many things that money is going to save American lives and support American prosperity. But in the determination of the second Trump administration, they have decided that they want to shift funding that has always gone towards certain areas, no matter who the president was, and put it instead into other areas. So the short answer is it's not so much that the United States doesn't have the money for this. It's that that they have chosen to use that money differently and in a way that we've never seen in our lifetimes.
Yes. American comforts. I like it. Because I'm worried about the China will be first.
Well, I mean,
that's a very big problem. You see, the northern Myanmar, because of Chinese interference in the ethnic groups, this destroys so many things.
Yeah. Well, if America pulls out of everything that it's doing, from media to education to healthcare to civil society, then that's a huge help to China.
Yes.
And China would appreciate that. So again, yes. I don't see that as America First. Yes. Yeah. But this is another argument that Trump is dividing the world into spheres of influence, and that if Trump and the United States abandon Southeast Asia and give Southeast Asia to China and give Europe to Russia, well, then there's this new colonial order where we then get to move into Latin America and South America. So that's another theory that the people are wondering about.
Yeah. Sure, yes.
Well, thank you very much for taking the time to join us and have this conversation.
You're welcome.
What a great conversation that was. You know, every so often, listeners share with me how deeply they've connected with a guest they heard on our podcast. Sometimes they've shared being so profoundly touched by what they've heard, they tell me they just wanted to reach out and hug the speaker when the episode ended. Hearing this kind of feedback, it's always real motivation for me and for our whole team, because it shows that even in this virtual space, we've been able to foster true heart-to-heart connection with this global community of listeners. Indeed, many of our guests have made extraordinary personal sacrifices in their efforts to create a better future for their society and continue to do so every day, despite the many challenges they face. And so, if you've been touched in this way yourself from hearing a past episode, you might consider supporting the work of one of our guests directly. Such contributions not only provide material help, they also send a powerful message of solidarity and of shared humanity. To get involved, send us a message with your intention. Of course, you can always make a general donation at insightmyanmar.org/donation. Yarananda, 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 Yarananda,